Good morning. I invite you to hear now the word of life that comes to us today from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Today, O God, may we hear your voice afresh. May it break through to remind us of who you are and who we are, so that we might go forth from this place more beloved. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, we took a family trip to Great Wolf Lodge. Anyone in here ever been to Great Wolf Lodge? Yes. Don't be embarrassed. Raise the hand high. It's okay. Yes. If you haven't been to Great Wolf Lodge, it's an indoor water park. And there's a wave pool. There's another pool with basketball hoops. There are these huge water slides. There's this giant jungle gym type of thing where water shoots out at you all the time. And the first thing that hits you when you walk into Great Wolf Lodge is the heat, which they turn up to about 107 degrees. And the second thing that hits you is the smell of chlorine, which is so strong that your eyes and your lungs burn from the moment you step in until the moment that you leave. The third thing that hits you is this thought: my God, at this mass of humanity, the place is filled with people, people in the wave pool, people scaling the jungle gym, people shoving and splashing to rebound a basketball, people of every shape and size just unashamedly trouncing about in their swimsuits, children crying because their parents won't buy them a $14 popsicle, people screaming with delight or terror as they shoot out of a slide. And as I looked around during that trip, I kept thinking about baptism. I mean, I was also thinking, how fast can 48 hours go by? But I was also thinking about baptism. And the reason I kept thinking about baptism in that chlorinated sauna is that everybody was walking around drenched, most of them happy as clams, willingly choosing to be there and to participate. Every age and stage of life, every color, every economic level, every emotion, all of it smushed there together in that raucous room of water. Now, Great Wolf Lodge may not be what you would describe if someone were to ask you about baptism. That may be because of what we picture on the actual day of a baptism: a sweet little baby dressed in white. You have the proud parents. You have a pastor who sprinkles just a little bit of water, not enough to get the baby crying. It's a small, dignified moment, not a water park full of every kind of person shoved into a bathing suit. It's also not the way that we learn about baptism in Scripture. Like we heard from the Gospel of Matthew today, Jesus' baptism was a fairly small affair, just Jesus and his relative John wading into the water, a debate over who should do the baptizing, some water, a voice from heaven. But baptism is never a solitary endeavor. You may have been the only person who was baptized on the day that the waters were poured over your head, or the day that you were dunked in a trough or pushed under the river stream, but you were really entering into a giant pool of believers, those who came before you and those who will come after you. You are wading into a vast community of Jesus followers who are floating in this water with you. Most of the time, I am so grateful for that community floating alongside me. It can be incredibly difficult to be a human person in a broken world, and even more so, human people in a broken world where we are trying with everything that we have to follow in the ways of Jesus. It's this baptized community that often keeps us afloat and encourages us and shows us love and nudges us to be good neighbors, reminds us of who God is and who we are. This big old community in the pool is a gift to us. And yet, remember, if you will, what happens when a big old community gets into a pool together. Those of you who have visited Great Wolf Lodge might remember, it can get nasty. Old Band-Aids and floating hairs and the stuff that comes out of diapers and can be muddy and messy and nasty even when you put all of us into that metaphorical baptismal pool together. We bring all of our stuff in with us. We bring our different views of Scripture, our different understandings of church and how church ought to operate. We bring our different senses of politics and how Jesus calls us to live in our communities. I won't make you raise your hands, but I can wager a guess that there are people you float with who you cannot fathom, you cannot possibly conceive how they support the political candidates that they support. I can wager a guess that there are people you float with who hold the polar opposite view when it comes to the Methodist Church and our understanding of human sexuality. And on top of all of that, we wade into the water with our quirky personalities and our past hurts, and even our varied allegiances to college sports teams. Any other Carolina fans just not feeling so good today? This big old pool of believers. The rivers of baptism that we're swimming in, they can be murky waters, choppy waters. And frankly, there are days when we just want to get out. Rinse off and go home. It's too much work to keep swimming together. Or we look around and we think, where is the daggum lifeguard? Could somebody please blow the whistle at these yahoos and show them to the ladder? If only these people were out of the pool, we'd be so much better off. The water would be so much smoother, so much cleaner. Perhaps that's why the story of Jesus' baptism is especially poignant in these days. John, it seems, was expecting a lifeguard, someone who would stand on the concrete, blowing his whistle, yelling out for better behavior, more rule following, a lifeguard who would dictate who needed to pack up their towel and go home. We moved in our family to a new home this past summer, and we joined the neighborhood pool. It was the first time that my children had spent any amount of time in a pool with lifeguards. There were always four of them at a time, one on each corner, scanning the water for any and every infraction. And on their first day, the lifeguards blew their whistle at my boys no less than six times. Partly it's because they are incapable of walking at a pool. And partly because they just didn't know all of the rules. And they spent the rest of the summer flinching every time the whistle rang out, afraid that they had screwed up once again. I would be lying if I told you that I don't struggle from time to time in imagining God, and by extension, Jesus, as this cosmic lifeguard, swimming along, waiting for God to blast us into better behavior. Maybe that's why John seems flabbergasted when Jesus asks to be baptized. "You're the one in charge of the water," he seems to be saying to Jesus. John can't make sense of it when Jesus says to him, "No, that's not my job. My job is to wade into the water with you, to get into the muck and the murk alongside you, to float next to you as you're swimming in those vulnerable human bodies and remind you that you are beloved, you are a delight, that you are held and not alone." And not only that, as Jesus moves in the water with us, he teaches us how to keep swimming together. When Jesus took flesh and got down into the water with us, he lived his life in such a way that we got to see the rules of the pool. He spent his life seeing the people that no one else sees, asking good questions instead of issuing exit mandates, sitting down to eat with the people who are our polar opposites, the one that nobody else invites to eat, offering forgiveness and seeking reconciliation. "Here's how we stay in the pool together," he seems to be saying to us. I wonder if these rules might help us over the next year as our differences may rise more to the surface. When someone from this pool of believers says something or does something that makes you wish you could whistle them out of the water, perhaps instead sit down with them over a meal and ask, "How did you come to see the situation like this?" I know it's daunting, but a baptized life doesn't give you the option. For better or worse, we don't get to choose to live a solo life with Jesus. There's no such thing. By virtue of our baptisms, we have climbed into a giant, muddy pool with all kinds of people we might not otherwise choose to float around with. And this is how God chooses to save us, to make us more holy, right here in the nitty-gritty, day in and day out, living life together and doing the painstaking work of loving and seeing and listening and forgiving and healing and starting again. Staying in the waters even when we want to swim for the nearest ladder. Living in this baptismal community is exquisitely beautiful and exquisitely difficult. And the good news is that we do this daunting work together. When I was ordained in 2011, there were 17 other people who stood with me that day, also being ordained as elders. Pastor David was one of them. And we all stood with one another, and when we took our vows, we looked out on this sea of United Methodist clergy and lay people, and the vows seemed so daunting, I could barely speak them aloud. Except I found courage in the way that we were told to respond together. We were told to say, "I will, with God's help and the help of my brothers and sisters in the order of elders." So when the bishop asked us, "Will you, in the exercise of your ministry, lead the people of God in faith to Jesus Christ, to participate in the life and work of the community, and to seek peace and justice and freedom for all people?" All 17 of us answered together, "I will, with God's help and the help of my brothers and sisters in the order of elders." I didn't make the promises alone. I made them with God and with my sisters and brothers. The same is true for us. We don't commit to living in community, to wading into and staying in the waters of baptism alone. That's why we never perform the sacrament of baptism outside of a worshiping community. I've had a couple of people who have asked me over the years if I might do a backyard baptism, maybe with their bird bath or something, but it ain't happening. We celebrate baptisms here with the community gathered around because we make those baptismal vows together. And each time God draws someone new down into the water, we are all hopping into the muddiness of community together with our vulnerable bodies and our quirks and our allegiances and our wide variety of opinions and preferences. We wade into this pool of believers with the help of God and with the help of our sisters and brothers who are committed to living this life together. Thanks be to God. Amen.